God is good, right? Yeah. Yeah, and all the time. Yeah, yeah. Amen. That was awesome. I had a blessed time, honestly, yesterday. Listen, I know a lot of times you guys get to see, you know, me up here preach and singing. I really want you guys to pray for Steph, encourage her. You guys don't realize how stressful it is to plan, like, church events. I mean it. So I'm pulling back the Wizard of Oz curtain a little bit so you guys can see. But really, if you see her, encourage her, pray for her, thank her. Because all the stuff that we do behind the scenes is because she helps organize it. So thank you, Beb, honestly. It's a lot of work behind the scenes to organize tickets and where we're going to eat and all that kind of stuff. And she does a great job to that. And I always say, look, this, God calls us to serve together. And I know oftentimes you just get to see me up here, and but I only serve because I always say, like, listen, God has called me to be the head of our family. She's the neck, right? So she tells me which way to look, and she does so much for the church and for our family. So really, thank you, man. Honestly, what a blessed time. But all of that comes together with somebody saying, yes, we're going to do it, and we're going to serve the body of Christ together. So it really was a blessed time. Keep an eye out for any upcoming. And if you actually, it's another thing, right? If you see of an event, something that is good for the church or for the family, let us know. We're always looking. You guys know that our thing is, like, we want to do life together. And that doesn't happen if we're not gathering and meeting, right? So we really had a blessed time, and I hope you guys enjoyed the, I call it the speed fellowship. But I enjoyed it. But I think you guys did as well. You guys are being shy right now. They're visiting coffee. So anyway, let's jump into the Word. Amen? All right. Today's lesson or today's sermon is called Out with the Old and In with the New. Out with the Old and In with the New. And so before I begin, I wanted to, let me ask somebody that is like 15 and younger. Do you guys know what this is right here? 15 and younger. Somebody says, what? It's a phone. Yeah. Have you ever actually seen one of these in somebody's house? You, right? You've seen it like at a museum now, right? So this is actually a pretty cool phone. It's a Mickey phone. How many of you guys remember having the old school rotary phone? It was heavy, and you would go like, you guys remember that? So this one's actually not that. I mean, it has it, but it's digital, so it's kind of fancy. But yeah, back in the day, I don't know if you're, like I said, when did the iPhones come out? Like mid-2000s? 2008, I think, is when they first started coming out. 7? 5? Yeah, 05, 06, right? Before it became the big thing. Of course, by then, we had the little Nokia 560. Everybody had one of those. You thought you were so cool playing the little snake game, right? But before that, there were these phones, right? And so the reason why I wanted to use like a little prop today is because, listen, I mean, our phones they can be a blessing and a little bit of a distraction and a curse, right? You can do so much with this, right? You can invite people. You can read scripture on this. You can do podcasts on there. There's so much that you can do. And there's also a lot of distractions here, right? They want to rob you of your time and joy. The thing is that, right, what we're going to learn today in today's sermon is that as we step forward in life, in faith, right, that sometimes the God is calling us to go out with the old and in with the new, right? Out with the old and in with the new. And listen, I think one of the things that we're going to be spending some time today in the book of Mark, and we're going to take a deeper dive into when one of the apostles was called, and it was actually Levi who was being called. Not called like, hello, Jesus, but actually physically being called, right? So, but we're going to see what transpires after that and the series of different interactions and what Jesus has to say about going out with the old and in with the new. Amen? So let's turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And we're going to be in we're going to read 13 through 21. And then we'll go back and we'll break that passage down. Let me know if you guys are there. Are you guys all going to fall on the screen? And that's good too. All right. Mark 2:13. It says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? And Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have them with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, and on that day they will fast. For no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wine skins. Otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskin will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new skins. Amen. All right. Awesome. That's a, I always say, we always start off when we read God's word and it's like a big steak. All right. So what do we have to do? When you order the tomahawk at Ruth Chris or somewhere else, what do you have to do? You got to chop it into little pieces, right? And so we always say, if we have to gossip, if we must gossip, let's gossip about what? The gospel, right? And I always say, why do we say that? I know that's tongue in cheek, but I always say, when other people gossip, not you guys, because you guys don't gossip, but they always want to tell you, I say what? The details. What was going on? Where did it happen? So Mark, we're in the book of Mark. We're in the Gospel of Mark. And this takes place so I'm going to have you guys, I always like to start high level. I know it feels like you're in school. You actually are in a school, okay? So it's actually okay for us to go through. But I always say high level, you need to know where this is happening. So this is happening right there in that little speck that's orange. And so let's drill down one more level. Next slide, please. And this is happening. Now we've zoomed in and now we're looking at Israel, right? So this is called the Sea of what? Sea of Galilee, right? Now you guys know, where was Jesus from? He was close. He grew up where? Yeah, I grew up in Nazareth, right? Good. Now, I grew up in Nazareth. Now, this is, you're early on in the gospel, so we're in chapter 2. So the gospel, he just started his ministry, right? If you guys think about that. Now, his ministry actually launched not in Nazareth. It launched way up here, right? He was preaching over here in this region, in the northern region of Galilee. And just again, for you guys that love geography, right? Do you guys know how wide the Sea of Galilee is? It's 8 miles wide. So pretend like you're getting in your car. And you're going to Parlier, right? From Sanger to Parlier, that's 8 miles. I don't know if you guys know that. How long is it? I'm just always, again, I can't help myself. It's actually miles, right? So 12 miles long, 8 miles wide. So if you get in your car with me again, you're going to my house, that's 12 miles, okay? That's pretty big, right? If you're trying to, that's why I call it it was the Sea of Galilee, even though it's a big lake. So they're preaching here, and so this passage that we just read takes place in Capernaum. Next slide. And so that is right there. Next slide. And so whenever you read the Gospels, I always encourage you to just visualize what is happening, right? This is a real place where Jesus really walked. In fact, this is the synagogue in Capernaum. And if you look at that, it's right on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, right? Now, there's a fancy little hotel here and here, but you can actually see the ruins, right? And if you read Mark chapter 1, when Jesus casts out a demon, it actually takes place in this building right here, right? You can go there today, right? So next slide, I'll just show you one more of that. I know you don't care about all the details. Too bad. I'm the one that's up here teaching and preaching, so you have to sit through it. But I hope that you go through it and you see it. Like, this is not just like something that you read. That it's like a novel that you're reading, like it's Harry Potter or whatever, right? It's not a, there's not a, like, I don't know, I'm not going to go too much into the details. This is a real historical event in a real place, right? So I just love that kind of stuff. And that's why sometimes, you know, when I'm putting together the message, I just start like looking. I was like, I'm like squirrel. And I'll start going, oh, back to the message, you know. Anyway, so just a little bit of, so that's the context. That's what's happening, right? Or that's where it's happening. But what is happening? What is happening? Again, we just said Jesus is starting his ministry. Crowds are starting to gather because he's teaching with authority. He's healing people. He's casting out demons. And so now he's coming, he's walking along in Capernaum, and he sees somebody. And who does he see? Who does he see in the back? Anybody know? He says Levi, yeah, yeah. And his name gets changed to what? You guys know? The person sitting next to Thea Irene should know. Yeah, that's right. He gets changed to Matthew, right? But he's a tax collector. And tax collectors at those times were what? Were they very popular people? No, they weren't. Why? Do you guys know why? Because they were siding with the Romans, right? They were doing the Romans' dirty work. They're taxing the people. And oftentimes they were known also for what? Taking a little bit off the top, right? So tax collectors generally were pretty wealthy people as well. So imagine having that job, right? Not only are you like a traitor, but you're also known for being a little bit of a thief. And then you have a rich... So of course, they were hated. Now what's interesting, right, is that as Jesus is coming along, you read in the next verse and it says what? That he went to have dinner at Levi's house, right? Oh, now the plot thickens. But the first thing we're going to learn from today's message is that, number one, Jesus calls the broken, the outcasts, and the unqualified. Jesus calls the broken, the outcasts, and the unqualified. And we find that in Mark 2:14, where it says, as he was walking along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and he followed him, right? But what you notice there is that there wasn't like a delay, right? There wasn't a, he didn't have to go like, let me check my schedule. Let me see if I can make time. Because listen, if you're here today, right, Jesus has called you. He's invited you. Now, hopefully you've answered yes and you are following him. But Jesus is still calling you today. I don't know if you know that. Jesus is prompting you to the Holy Spirit to take action, to do something. He's almost saying, like, follow me. I need you to do this thing. And oftentimes, what do? If we're honest, are we, like, quick to react and say, yes, Jesus, wherever you want me to go, where I'm there. You just say the name, the time, and the place, and I will do it. Or do we kind of just say, we kind of cower back. I don't know if you know that. I did the Homer Simpson behind the little bush right there. And maybe he didn't see me. Right? No, Jesus sees you, even if you're trying to hide behind the bush like Homer Simpson. No, right? But God is calling us and he wants us to act and serve. I know, I'm just laughing. I can't help myself, guys. I was visualizing the Homer Simpson. I got distracted. Squirrel. But he wants us to, here's why. Why do we cower when Jesus calls? Why do we take a step back when the Holy Spirit prompts? I'll tell you what, because we don't feel like we're qualified. We don't feel like we're prepared. We don't feel like we're good enough. We think that God is going to ask somebody else to do that. And here's the thing is like God is inviting you to be a part of building up his kingdom. And the reason why we struggle with that, with the obedient part of it is what? Because we think that the success of whatever he's asking us to do squarely on our shoulders. And that nothing could be further from the truth. God isn't asking you, right? He's not even asking you to worry about the outcome. He's asking you to just be obedient. If he says, follow me or go and do that, then all of our thing is like, yes, Jesus, whatever you say. Yes, Jesus, whatever you say. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have four kids at home. You guys have kids? When you ask them to do something, do they like usually just do it right away? What kind of responses do you guys get? Anybody? Why? Okay. What else do you get? It's his turn, right? I didn't leave that. That's not my mess. What else do you guys hear? Oh, yeah. Some of them complain a little bit, right? You know what? I'll do it later. Yes. I'll do it later. Wouldn't it be refreshing if when you made the ask,
all you heard was, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. But and they just did it. You would be like, what? Who are you? What did you do to my kids? Wouldn't that be refreshing? And listen, that's just us. If we're asking our kids, what about when God asks us to do something? And I'm not saying that we're parents, we have some authority, but when the creator of the universe invites you to a task, right, do you think that I'm just saying, do you think that should carry a little more weight? It definitely should, right? In this case, Jesus is asking Levi to follow him, and so he doesn't think about it. He doesn't check his schedule. He doesn't make an excuse about, oh, I got to do this and this. And now he says, I'm going. Where are we going? Well, what's interesting is the next thing. Because Jesus, right? Jesus already knows that if he's calling us to the task to follow him or to a task of obedience, it's not a matter of, I would say, our qualification. Stephen said this last time when he preached the message. He says, listen, it's not about you. It's about God. Right? It's not about you. Because the more that we think about it, right? Yeah, of course we're not qualified. Of course we're not smart enough. In fact, you see it time and time again. If you read the Bible, God is always uses people who are flawed and broken to do his most amazing work. And so listen, we get to be part of that equation. We get invited to that. But oftentimes we're making excuses if we're honest, right? Because we think that, again, it all depends on us, whether that task or that whatever assignment that God has given us is really dependent on us, and it's really not. Listen, God is going ahead and doing the work ahead of you. I don't know if you know that. God is already moving. The Holy Spirit is already moving. And I'll be honest with you, oftentimes we talk about the invitation, inviting your friends and families, or invite them to a Bible study, invite them to church, pray for them. You don't save anybody. Let me just be crystal clear. You're just called to be obedient. The Holy Spirit is already going ahead of you and doing the hard work, right? The Holy Spirit is already going ahead, so he just wants us to be obedient. And he's calling us, right, to be obedient and to be a part of building his kingdom, not because of who we are, but because of what? Because of who he is. Amen? So he's just calling us to be obedient. And so for our task, right, and this the challenge from that first bullet point, is the same way that Levi got up and just followed and was obedient. The question is, will you get up and will you follow him? When Jesus says, hey, the task. I got a task for you. I got something for you to do. Are we just going to disobey like our kids do? Right? I'll let that one sit for a little bit. The second point from the scripture we just read, you see that, is when Jesus invites Levi, the first thing he does is he invites him to do what? To a meal. To break bread in Levi's home, right? And so Jesus, number two, it seeks for relationship over religion. Jesus seeks for relationship over religion. Mark chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, right? It says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him. And they were many, because there were many who followed him. See, one of the things that we can take away from this passage, right, is that at that time, who were the religious elite and the religious leaders of the church? You guys remember them? The Pharisees, right? The Pharisees. And if you guys know the word for Pharisee, the root word means they were set apart. Like they were apart from the people. They wanted nothing to do with the Gentiles because they wanted to be so, they were so into following the law. That's actually what that word means. So they had nothing to do with the people like Levi or the people that Jesus was sitting with and breaking bread with. And they took offense to that, right? They took offense that Jesus was hanging out, in their opinion, and hanging out with sinners. But this is the thing, that Jesus didn't come, right, for the religious. He came to have a relationship with those people. And so for us, here's the thing, right? I know this becomes a challenge. The longer that we are in the church and the more that we start getting into the Word, we start hanging out with more and more people that are like us. Does that resonate with anybody? You start hanging out with a lot of church people, and that's okay. But God is saying, listen, you need to go out to where the people are. And just the same way that Jesus did, right? And hang out with the people at that time. It was not a cool thing to hang out with the tax collectors and all the sinners. But Jesus is saying, like, listen, you're called to be a Christian. You're called to model yourself after him. That means that what? That we have to go out. And I'm not saying, like, I'm going to see, I better not, like, turn on my Instagram and see you guys at all kinds of bars and places you shouldn't be. And, oh, pastor said I need to go, so I'm going to the casino right now after this. Like, that's not what I said, right? that's not what we're saying. You can go. I know some of you guys are like, oh, I was going to go to Table Mountain as soon as we're done here. No, maybe to the buffet, okay? But that's a message for another time. No, it means that we need to be intentional to talk to people, right? Here's the reality of it, is that you have a lot of people that you know that don't know Jesus Christ. And all that Jesus is saying is be intentional to go and make relationship with those people. It's very difficult for you to bring people to Jesus Christ from a distance. People want to be what? The number one thing that when people are going through something, what do they need? Of course, they need Jesus. But the second thing is they need somebody to show them that somebody cares. Right? They need, what you'll see time and time again, if you read in Mark chapter 1, is that when Jesus went along, people would come before him. They were sick. They had demons. They needed healing. And you'll see it time and time again. It says, Jesus had compassion on them. You know what the word compassion means? Anybody? It's a root word. It means at the root of that is what? Is pain. It means to suffer with. It means that when somebody that you know is going through something, that is the time that you need to show up so that Jesus can do the work that he has to do. That makes sense? It's not enough to say like a text, say, you know, it's fine, encouragement. But more than anything, Jesus said, when you see it in the scriptures, he says, he had compassion on them. And what is that invitation? When you read it, he says that, listen, we need to get into the habit of suffering with people. Does that make sense? We can't just be on this, like, oh, I'm over here. I'm in my safe world, safe zone. Everything about my life is so safe. I'm just being honest with you. When I was looking at what Jesus did, he wasn't always operating in the safe spaces, right? He's hanging out with people who shouldn't have been. One of my favorite scriptures is when Jesus goes and everybody's terrified about the guy who's shackles and he's cutting himself and everybody's like, we don't want to go there, right? And then Jesus is like, that's the guy that he actually delivered the legion of demons. You guys remember that? Even where it wasn't safe, Jesus said, you know what? I see the person. They have value. And so we need to get in the business of being like Jesus. He's seeking relationship over religion. And so, yes, it's important that we invite people to church, but that's the religious activity. Oh, come to church. Saying, you know what you need? You need more religion. And that doesn't attract anybody. Because what they're going to hear is to say, oh, you want me to go with you to memorize and like all these books? And this is, that's not, no, people are attracted to Jesus because of what? Because of the relationship. But somebody has to do the invitation, right? And so that's what God is asking us to do. He's asking us to model ourselves after the way that he was. He was very intentional. So I'll ask you this, right? When you leave here, or when you're at work, or when you go through your gatherings, who are you hanging out with? Who are you sitting with? Are you breaking bread with people that need to hear the gospel? Are you encouraging them? Are you speaking life? Are you a good witness to what Jesus is doing in your life so they can actually, you can speak life to them? See, we need to be very intentional in our relationships the same way that Jesus was. Because oftentimes, right, you've heard me say this. This is not a church. This is a multi-purpose room. It's a cafeteria, right? Come like in 2 weeks, there's going to be about 150 snot-nosed kids running in and out of here, coughing, sneezing loud, right? Making a big mess. I know some of the teachers are getting PTSD already thinking about it. It'll be fine. But this is a building, right? If you go down the street and you go to another church here in town, right? It's the building. But that's just a building. What is a church? The church is the people, the body of Christ, right? And so Jesus is not inviting us to be a building. He's inviting us to what? To be the church, to be the people, to be a part of the bride of Christ. So for us, the challenge is that we just don't go to church, right? But that we, what? Be the church in the community, right? So oftentimes you'll say, oh, you need to come to church. What does that mean? You're going to bring into this building? No, Jesus is inviting you already. You're strategically planned already. God is saying, you know what? This guy's part of my body. He could be my hands and my feet. Go be the church in the community, is what Jesus is asking us. And he doesn't care about all these religious activities and this person and that person. And listen, you guys have heard me say this before. I don't like to talk politics from the pulpit because that's not my job, but the world that we live in is so divided by politics and race and all this other stuff that's happening. And Jesus is saying, listen, I don't care about any of that. I care about people. Because they need Jesus just like we need Jesus. We can't sit in our high tower and say like, oh, look, I got Jesus. The rest of you guys can go to what? The rest of you guys can go to hell. This is asking us. So we have to be the church. And Jesus was what? Very keen on building relationships with real people that were real broken, that were rejected, and that were outsiders. People that lived in the margins of society. And that's what God is inviting us to. Now I know we all have different passions. Some of us we're very passionate. And so listen, if that's your passion, go do it for the kingdom, right? And if it's not your passion, guess what? Go do it for the kingdom anyway. God is not saying like you get to opt out. Si te conviene. If you have time, if you like those people, you can go. No. Right? And so we need to be seeking relationships with those people. Oh my God, really, Pastor? Yeah. Because you might be the person that they see Jesus in. And you get to invite them. And God gets the glory, right? Luke chapter 19, verse 10 is a verse that many of you guys are familiar with, right? It's Jesus saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The Son of Man came to save and seek the lost. And so Jesus isn't worried about religion. Now the Pharisees that were present, you think they were happy? No. They're criticizing him, right? They're like, why is he eating with those sinners? And Jesus tells them in his response. Number 3, it says that Jesus heals the spiritually sick so that we can have life. Jesus heals the spiritually sick so we can have life. In verse 17, Jesus answers and says, on hearing what they were saying, right? The Pharisees were asking, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy, but the sick. But I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. But sinners. And so here's the thing that you hear about a lot, especially as you're sharing your faith and you're going out in the world and you're speaking the truth of who Jesus is. You're going to hear a lot that people say, I'm good. I'm a good person. You ever heard that? That's not, Jesus' response would be that, who's good but God, right? But the fact is that Jesus didn't come to make good people better, right? He came to make dead people alive. And that's our story. And it means that, yes, at some point we have to admit that we have a need of a Savior, right? We don't have it all together. That's a lie of the enemy, right? That's like your Instagram life. You only post all the good stuff. Why don't you post what's really happening in your life? Right? Why don't you post what you post your most fabulous meal? How about when you're just eating the bologna sandwich? With plain, it looks all terrible. I don't see anybody posting the bologna sandwich with cabbage. Nobody, right? Only when you're out here, oh, look at me, I'm at sushi and all these nice places? How about when you put in the ramen and the maruchan? I don't see anybody posting the maruchan on Instagram. Because that's not real, right? What I'm saying is that, like, listen, we have to be real. That's what God is asking of us. And at some point, we have to say yes. We have to recognize that we're in need of a Savior. A lot of us in here have tried to do it on our own without God, only to find out and come up way short, right? To find out that we make a hot mess of things. And we have to accept that we need Jesus. And we're thankful that Jesus came to heal the spiritually sick so that we can have life. But we need to be honest about our need for Jesus. We need to confess our sins, our brokenness. And it's interesting that he uses the analogy, right? He says, listen, I didn't come to heal right the healthy. I came to heal the sick. And every one of us in here, right, have gone through either like a bout of going to the hospital or the ER. We need help. And that's physical. And yes, that's important. But what about when you're broken on the inside, right? There's no doctor for that. You got to go to Jesus. He's the one who made you. He's your creator. He's the one that can put that part together, back together, and give us life. Amen? And as you go out, right, here's the thing. A lot of times we put pressure on ourselves when we're going out and we're trying to be intentional to connect people with Christ, and we say, well, and this person doesn't want to hear about Jesus. Jesus isn't asking you. It's not, you're not responsible for the outcome. You're just responsible for the obedience. But also be very careful that you're going to run into people. You probably know who they are right now. This heart is in a place where they're just not quite ready. Does that make sense? Keep praying for them. Keep showing up. Keep inviting. Keep showing compassion over them. Keep being there. God is in the business of redeeming people that are broken and lost. Stay the course. Don't give up, right? And then be mindful, right? Be smart. When Jesus sent out the 72, how many of you guys remember that, right? He always said, like, go out and preach it. And then if they reject you, he says, know that they rejected me first. So wipe off your chancla and go to the next town. You guys remember that? It's the same for us. Don't be surprised. There's some people that still have hardened hearts. There's some people that still have to process some pains and some suffering, and they're not ready to hear it. But also be wise, right? Some people are going to want to pick fights with you. Or they're going to ask you, why is your God the true God? What about this? What about that? And so you have to, in the same way, right, be smart like Jesus. Just do the part. He's inviting you to that, but don't engage. I always say, like, listen, when I was younger in my faith, I used to get into arguments for Jesus Christ. Have anybody, you guys done that? I would get all fired up and mad, and I would win the argument. But did I win those people for Christ? No, right? I would get, like, angry, and I would go through and do the scripture, and I said, and they would go, what about this? What about that? How come it's your God? And we would get into some heated debates. And at the end of it, I felt good because I was like, I got one for Jesus. Victory for, we won the argument for Jesus. And is that person, the person that I had the argument with or debate about, were they any closer to saying yes to Jesus? No, they weren't, right? I went through the mental gymnastics, right? We wrestled, right, in my mind. You guys are, who's into like MMA? Some of you guys, right? I went into the octagon of debating over God, and we won. We didn't win anybody. But listen, we got to recognize that Jesus is in the business of healing people who are broken and flawed. And that's us too, right? It begins with us being honest. We don't have it all together. Enough. I keep saying this, right? I keep saying it over and over again. People don't want to see your Instagram life. People want to know what it's like to really follow Jesus. People want to know, and it's okay to say, you know what? I am dealing with some stuff, but God is good. He's going to get me through it. I'm having this conflict. That's what people want to see. They want to see hope and joy in the middle of the pain and suffering, right? Because Jesus came to heal the spiritually sick so they can have life. And that's why we all need Jesus. And number four, we know that Jesus brings away a new life and not a patch, right? He brings a new way, a new life, and not a patch. And so let's read that passage of scripture. And it says, it's in verse 21. It says, no one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear even worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skin. And both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. And he's using an analogy there, right? When you made wine back then, if you had to have a new pouch, because when you ferment something, guess what? It emits like gas, right? You guys know that? So it stretches out. And if you put it into a pouch that was already used, what's going to happen to your pouch? It's going to tear. It's going to burst, right? And this is what Jesus is saying in our life. When he invites us to be a part of building his kingdom, when he invites us and we say yes to Jesus. But then have you noticed that sometimes you're saying yes to Jesus, but you haven't changed your routine. You haven't let him be Lord of all areas of your life. He says, Jesus, you can be Lord on Sunday mornings and when I go to Bible study. But this thing, not so much. I still want to be in charge when it comes to relationships. I still want to be in charge when it comes to my finances. I still want to be in charge. You guys ever have that debate and argument with Jesus? Huh? Yeah. See, what Jesus is inviting us to say is like, listen, I'm going to have a little object lesson for you guys here because some of you guys are visual learners. I always say, you guys hear me say this. This cup right here is like, it's your life. Let's just say that. Use your imagination, right? And what happens as you go about your life is that, you know, to live is to struggle. You've heard me say this before. John 16:33 says what? That in this life you will have trouble, but have what? Fear not, because I have overcome the world. These screws represent exactly what you think they are. They're screws. And some of you guys are, my brother's not here, but have you ever got one of these in your hand? Right here, right? When the drill goes crazy and then you cut yourself. These screws represent exactly what you think they do. These are the pains of life, right? And so this is your cup. God made you perfect in his image and his likeness when you were born. But then sometimes things start to happen in your life, right? So maybe this first one, is maybe you had a parent who was absent or who maybe hurt you. So I was going to use the screwdriver, but I don't have to. I work out. No, it's a cup. It's not that, I know. So that first one represents a wound that you received from a parent. Your parent wasn't absent. This other one could be your parent that was actually present that also could have done some damage and you learned some things, right? Maybe sometimes they say things that you, man, like they hurt. And those are real hurts, right? So there's that one. And then you're going about your life and then you notice that, man, you don't look like everybody else. People act, you have different things. There's differences about you. You don't quite fit in, right? So you're kind of a little bit of an outcast. And then as you go about, right, people start to hurt you, right? You have relationships, people that you trusted that betray you and let you down. That's another one. And then you start to make some bad decisions in your life. You start to do things that you know are not of God, right? You start inviting things, you start committing. Let's just be honest with you. You start sinning, and you know that at the end of the day, right, the wages of sin is death. And so you start hurting people, you start hurting yourself, you start hurting other relationships, right? And then there's also then now the other stuff that we deal with. Because God has made us, right? He made us a certain kind of, we have a proclivity for him. Our hearts are desperate until we find God. But we're not walking with God, we try to fill it with other things, right? We try to fill it with what? Things that kind of cover and mask our hurt and our pain. And so these are some of the addictive natures that we go through. Some of the things that we go through because we need. So it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be an escape. Right? And then how about just ourselves, the struggle that we have, our insecurities, our fears, our anxiety, our depression, right? Those are real things. And so now by the time that your life looks like this a little bit. Does that make sense? Then how about you just start having like things happen, man. You just can't catch a break. Right? Things happen in your life, relationships, family problems, right? You got health problems. You got problems, I don't know, problems upon problems. You make sense? You guys are catching the picture? And then we say like, okay, this is my life right here. And then we think, right? So we say like, this life starts happening. And this cup is meant to do something, right? You're meant to live. And so this water represents that part, right? So then I start putting this thing. Put the water in. And then what starts to happen to my life? What's happening to it? Do you guys see it? I don't know if you guys see it way in the back. What's happening to my life? It's draining. I'm tired. I need help. And then what do? It's like, oh, yeah, I have all these problems. I can start plucking them out, but what happens if I don't? I got to deal with them, yeah? I got to start pulling them out, but guess what? Then there's going to be a massive wound there, right? And so we start plucking them out. And it says, oh, but more starts to come out, right? And then we say, I know what I need. I just go to Amazon. And for every one of those, I'll just buy a book. We start fixing it. All your self-help. 10 ways to deal with your anxiety. 5 steps to forgiveness. That sound familiar? Right? 8 steps to dealing with relational conflict. Right? So we're using all these things. Right? We'll just use this tape right here. I'll try to cover that one up. Guess what's happening? It's still leaking. I'll try something else. Right? Let me try some Teflon tape. My plumber in the room. That should work. That's for water, right? We start doing all this. Okay. This one. Okay, there's my Teflon tape right there. My life is looking pretty good, right? It's still what? It's still leaking. So I know I need some Gorilla. I need the real stuff. Gorilla tape. This one actually is for water. I was going to buy the one with the guy that does the, I just sewed my boat in half. But that's too much. So this is the cheap version of that. Right? My Flex Seal, yeah. But guess what's happening? Right? And I'm walking around my life. How you doing? I'm good, brother. Great. I'm just walking around. How are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you doing? Good. But you have a... No. What leak? I'm good. How about you doing? No. You're looking at the wrong side. You know what I'm saying? Are you picking up the analogy and the metaphor? That we try to do this is that Jesus is inviting us to say, I want to do something new in your life. I see it as flawed. I can see it. I see the pain. I see the sin. I see the hurt. Your whole world, everybody around you can see it, in fact. But you've heard me say this before. We lie to ourselves more than we lie to anybody else. Because we say, I'm fine. I'm good. And what Jesus is saying is, he's like, listen, you can't make something new out of this. I'm inviting you to do something new in your life. So Jesus, when he says, look, say yes to me. Because I want to redo. This thing doesn't need a makeover. It needs to be renewed from the inside out. Yes? When Jesus comes in, he does the invitation. He says, listen, when you say yes to me, it's like you got one of these. All right? And he says, I'm gonna make something new in your life. Right? Now, this is not just promotion for the C3 church, but it worked out. Because then life comes, right? And yeah, you know what? Life does come. But guess what? With Jesus on my side, when he's doing a new thing in my life, I can sustain, right? Then life happens. And guess what? I'm building my life on Jesus. He's doing a new thing in my life. And yeah, the storms are going to come, right? But then I'm okay because Jesus has done a new thing in my life and I got to surrender. And so for me to live like this, to be covered in his blood and to be walking with Jesus means that I got to get rid of all this. At some point we have to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you got to let Jesus be Jesus. You got to let him give you new proclivities, right? You got to let him be the Lord of your life, Lord of your relationships, Lord of your family, right? And so he's coming to do a new thing. And that's what he's talking about. He says, your life can't be what it was the old way. The old, he's talking about the wineskin. Nobody puts that patch in there, but he says, but listen, I'm coming to give you new life. So here's the thing. When Jesus invites you and he gives you the new life, right? This thing is only useful if you actually use it. If you actually go to Jesus. If you actually obey Jesus. If you just say, okay, well, I got this nice cup. I'm saved. I'm just going to put it in my drawer and never use it. What good is that? And then we go back to our old self. And then we wonder, man, I said yes to Jesus, but you're not reading, you're not being obedient, you're not going to Bible study, you're not giving, you're being divisive, and you're still reaping what we sow. And so Jesus didn't come here just to make good people what? Better. He says, I came to give you a new life. That means that we have to surrender and submit to him. We talked about last week about picking up our cross, right? We've got to keep picking up our cross. We've got to keep looking for the ways that we can serve God and make him Lord of all areas of our life. Jesus didn't want to come and just patch you up. You've already tried that. He says, no, I'm going to do a new thing in your life. Does that make sense? So we've got to let go of the old ways. That's the legalism and pride, our self-righteousness, and embrace the new life that Jesus offers us. The thing about it is that you can't mix the old with the new. Right? How many of you have tried to mix the old with the new? The old self with the new. How's it working out? The old, right? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Not because I'm saying that, because Jesus is saying that. And for us, right, Jesus is inviting us to let go of our past hurts, our insecurities, to just, you can't put your new life into your old way of living. It doesn't work out. Jesus has already come down from heaven, right? To make what? Heaven on earth through him, through faith in Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness, your kindness, Lord God. Thank you again for the invitation that you have for us, Lord God, to follow you. And Lord, just the same way that you invited Levi, Lord God, man who is known to be a sinner, man that, Lord, that he was despised by his people, Lord God. He was an outcast. Lord, you qualified him, Lord God. He even became one of the disciples, Lord God. So thank you, Lord, that you invite us as well. You invite us and you give us a charge, because you didn't come for the righteous, Lord God, the self-righteous. You came for those that are, your word says that you came to save the lost, Lord God. You came to save sinners. And so thank you, Lord God, that it's a part of your church, Lord God. You give us the invitation to go out and reach those that are lost, Lord God. And even for us, this is a firm reminder, Lord God, that we have to put off the old self. The old self, sometimes it can be very easy to go back into those paths, but we have to say no. We have to follow you, Lord God, with all of our heart. Lord, we got to love you, Lord God. We got to seek you first in all things, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, that you call us and you give us new life, Lord God. You make dead things alive, and that's every single one of us in here. Father God, continue to work in our hearts. Continue to guide us to you, Lord God. Continue to draw us to you, Lord Jesus. And that means changing the way we do life. We have to be intentional, Lord God, to be in your word, to be in prayer. We have to be intentional, Lord God, to fast. We have to be intentional, Lord God, with how we treat the temple that you've given us, where the Holy Spirit lives. It's our body, Lord. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the invitation upon us, Lord God. You are asking us to be obedient, Lord God. You want us to go alongside and to be the church in the community. Not to invite people to church, but to be the church in the community. And that's one person at a time. That's one relationship at a time, Lord God. And Lord God, you go ahead of us, Lord God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're not responsible for the outcome. We are just responsible to be obedient to the call that you have on us, Lord. Father God, will you continue to use this church, Lord, to build up your kingdom? Will you continue to bless and multiply, Lord? Help us to, again, just to reach more people for you. And you would get all the honor and all the glory, Lord God. Give us a heart for you, Lord Jesus. Give us a heart for the lost, for the broken, for the marginalized in our community, Lord God. Help us to be your hands and your feet, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for your kindness, Lord God, and the invitation that you have, Lord. You want to make a new way, a new life, Lord God. Heal all of us that we have a desperate need for you, Lord God. Father God, right now, Lord, I pray for members of our church, Lord God, that are going through a storm, Lord God, in their life. It might be a storm of health. Lord God, you know our hearts, Lord God. You know our prayers, Lord. It might be a storm or a battle, Lord God, in a relationship. Lord, it might be something that we have to surrender to you in terms of a sin, Lord God. It's a relationship that we have to reconcile, Lord Jesus. Father God, some of us are struggling with anger, Lord, with pride. Help us to put all of that at your feet, Lord God. Help us to confess it to you for forgiveness. Help us to confess it to a brother or sister to help us to heal, Lord God, from that pain and that hurt. Lord, you call us to be a body so we could encourage one another, lift one another up, and pray for one another, and do life together, Lord God. It's my prayer that we can do that, Lord God, that we can be the church and the community. That we could be a family that serves you, Lord, and serves you well. Continue to guide us, Lord. Continue to be with us. Father God, I just pray for all the educators in the room, Lord God, all the folks that are involved in assisting with getting kids back to school. And I pray for our families, Lord, getting back into those routines, Lord. Give us order, Lord God, but help us to seek you out in all things, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, kind. Watch over us, Lord God, and help us continue to say yes to you, Lord, as you do a new thing in our life. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.